You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So today the New Zealand government and we have a space agency in New Zealand signed an agreement with NASA over in the US to join the Artemis Accord. And this means that there's going to be more sharing of knowledge and working on missions. And Morgan goes into it a little bit more in our first question, but pretty much it's a huge step for the New Zealand space industry, which is worth $1.7 billion, which is just insane. So I start off by asking what the Artemis Accord means for the New Zealand space industry. And here's our little chat.
So the Artemis Accords are a set of principles under which NASA has collaborated with international partners to determine a safe and peaceful exploration of the moon and then onto other celestial bodies as part of the Artemis program, which is the sister program to the Apollo era program, which we all are familiar with, which was obviously the first time we went to the moon back in the 1960s. So in terms of what the Artemis Accords mean for New Zealand, they open up a huge opportunity for New Zealand to collaborate with NASA and with other organisations as humanity looks to send people back to the moon and then eventually onto places like Mars or even further afield as well. For New Zealand, that might mean collaborating in the form of missions, but it could also mean things like opportunities for university students and research organisations in New Zealand to collaborate with NASA on scientific exploration.
So I was going to say one of the key aspects of the Accord is the release of data. So what does this mean when it comes to producing new research within the industry?
So NASA is obviously a public organisation, and one of the remits they set out to achieve is learning a lot more about our planet and a lot more about our solar system and even further afield, and sharing that information for the benefit of humanity. So that means that New Zealand will likely, under the Artemis Accords, have access to a lot of technology, information, data, scientific exploration, all manner of information that we learn as a species in the next decade or so working through the Artemis program.
So you also mentioned university students. So what does this mean for New Zealand universities and students when it comes to potentially going into space or working on rockets or other aspects of the industry?
So New Zealand's space industry is already a $1.7 billion industry and it's growing rapidly. Earlier in 2020, a Rocket Lab launched the first New Zealand academic satellite for students at Auckland University, and we launched that payload for free. So that's an opportunity that New Zealand students just simply wouldn't have had available to them, prior to Rocket Lab and prior to the creation of the New Zealand Space Agency. So the opportunity for New Zealand students to, take part in whether it's developing launch vehicles or spacecraft or research programs has greatly increased in recent years, and signing the Artemis Accords and having a closer working relationship with NASA is just another positive step towards opening more of those doors. And when you look at one of the initiatives the Space Agency has introduced, as well as an internship program whereby New Zealand university students are now selected for NASA internships every year, which is something that until quite recently wasn't really possible for New Zealand students. As for flying, to space as an astronaut themselves, it's not something that New Zealanders can actually currently undertake for all sorts of regulatory reasons. But, this partnership with NASA is a positive step towards, potentially one day having Kiwis, flying to space. And, of course, Rocket Lab is developing the Neutron launch vehicle, which will be capable of human space flight, currently working towards first launch for that mission in 2024. So it's very possible that in the next decade or so, we could see Kiwis in space.
So with all of this increase in space exploration and all these partnerships made, what does this mean for things like space debris, which are already having an impact on how Earth operates?
So space sustainability and preserving space as a domain that we can all access and use positively is something that is definitely front of mind for anyone who is a space user, and something that has to be managed carefully into the future. One of the things that makes it a challenge right now is there's kind of no one central body that regulates what goes into space and where it goes, and to make sure that it's put into a safe orbit. So if you look at space essentially like a high-speed motorway with all of these satellites traveling around in orbit at around 27 times the speed of sound, finding a clear spot where you're not in danger of, putting your satellite in the way of another person's satellite or in the way of the International Space Station. Those merging slots onto that high-speed highway are getting smaller and smaller. So ultimately it needs collaboration from commercial space users like Rocket Lab and like SpaceX and like any other launch company out there. It needs collaboration between governments so that there's, better and closer and more collaborative regulation. And I think, for Rocket Lab personally, it's something we're incredibly passionate about, why we've developed a launch vehicle that's really designed to leave nothing behind in terms of space junk. So when you go to space, typically you leave large portions of the launch vehicle in orbit in order to get the satellite all the way to orbit. And we've designed a rocket that can leave no parts behind and just the satellite so that we're not further contributing to that risk of space junk. But it absolutely is a big issue and one that I think will definitely need closer collaboration and watching in years to come.
So when it comes to space exploration, how do people make money off of it? We were wondering in the newsroom how it is a profitable industry, how it's worth so much.
The interesting thing about space is it's invisible infrastructure, and it's something that we all rely on every single day. So if you think of a road, we all see that and we all use it, so it's very tangible. But perhaps think of things like the pipes that run water to your house. You don't see them, but you rely on them every day. And space is much the same. So every time you pop an address into Google Maps on your phone, or maybe you order Uber Eats, or you want to check the weather, or you want to, watch something like Sky TV, every time you do that, you're actually relying on space technology and satellites that are traveling all around the world. So they're a huge, huge part of our everyday life. That's before you even get into things like security and defense. So they're very, very much part of our everyday life. The trouble is we just don't see them, so we don't think about them all that often.
And what about when it comes to going to other planets and going to the moon? Is there any profit in that currently?
So we're just really at the beginning of what is capable in terms of accessing the moon and in terms of going further beyond. So right now we can't really get a whole lot of mass to the moon. And then, in terms of talking about things like asteroid mining or, even setting up longer-term bases on other planets, there's potential room for commercial uses of those. And that could be anything from, as you say, resource extraction through to tourism, through to any number of reasons. The trouble is we're quite far away from those capabilities yet. So the Artemis Accords are really about taking that next step, so that we can actually better and easier access those platforms, the moon and further afield, and then potentially look to turn those into profitable avenues. But ultimately, going to space is about more than just profit as well. It is about feeding that human urge for exploration and for finding pushing the boundaries of what we can do as a species and what we can learn about the solar system in which we live.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.